A lot of just kind of heart issues, a lot about our relationship with God, not a lot of skills, okay? And so tonight what I want to do with Pam is give you some real practical tools. And so I promise you, if you will stick with this, you'll have some pretty good handles on ways you could communicate better and some really good ways to identify ways you're not communicating very well, okay? So that will happen if you'll kind of track with this. And so... So we'll just jump right in. This is my wife, Pam, and we've been married 15 years. We've got four kiddos. They are 11, 9, 7, and 5. And so next year, Pam will have her life back, right? Everybody will be out in school, and it'll be a new season for us. That is a little bit about us.
Yeah.
So, hey, let's just talk about communication in general and why it's so important. Did you guys know that the number one predictor of divorce is the inability to resolve conflict? Okay, and so if you cannot resolve conflict, you will struggle in your marriage. Take it to the bank. Okay, and it's really interesting. Several years ago, there was a guy named John Gottman, and he did this study. All he did was watch couples communicate. That's all he did. Just kind of watch the tape. Didn't know anything about how much money they made, about their education, about their family of origin, anything like that. And with 87% accuracy, he could tell if people would be divorced 5 years later or not, based purely on the way they communicated with each other. Okay. And so it really is important, and we're excited to kind of give you some really good tools. Okay, so first off, just real quick, do you want to talk about any of this, about James 1:19 or?
Yeah, and just real quickly, just for us, I mean, we are passionate about talking about this because just what we've seen, some of these skills and just things that we've learned that we're going to share with y'all tonight, and just what we've seen it do in our marriage. And so we had a good marriage. We've always had a pretty good marriage, but just in the last 6-7 years, as we've just been learning about just kind of some of our negative patterns and just some of the stuff we're going to share with you guys, we've just seen a definite just increase in the way we relate to each other and our oneness and just being able to communicate in all areas. And so we're just passionate about it because we've seen just the difference it's made in our marriage.
That's good.
And so the main verse here is James 1:19, and it's just be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And so just that there's a pattern and there's a reason that it was written in that order.
Yeah. So it's listen, speak, be angry slowly. And I think that really does point to the whole purpose of communication, right? So if the goal of communication was to get your point across, the verse would be completely flipped, right? So get really good and angry, right? and then speak, and then make sure they understood you, right? So that's the way it should read if the goal of communication was to get your point across. And instead, I think it's mutual understanding. Okay, so that's the goal. We got to lock down on that. Okay, second thing, I do want to bring it back to the heart issue real quick. James 4:1 says, where do you think all these appalling wars and quarrels come from? Do you think they just happen? Think again. They come about because you want your own way and fight for it deep inside yourself. That's the way it reads in the New Living Translation. Okay, and so the whole reason we fight, the whole reason we don't communicate well into the day is because we're selfish. Okay? That is the number one thing we can do to get a handle on our communication is to deal with our own selfishness. And so Pam and I think oftentimes we fight because, right, we don't have enough money, or because her parents are crazy and they've been with us for 3 days, right? Our kids are acting up. We're busy, tired, all those kind of things. Okay, now those might kind of exacerbate the situation, but at the end of the day, if we're fighting and quarreling, it's because we're selfish, and our selfishness at that point is not being under control of the Holy Spirit, and we're just choosing to do and say what we want to do. Okay, and so whatever you do, we can't just be slick in the way we communicate. It still is a heart issue. Okay, so. But now let's get real practical. We're going to give you four ways that we communicate poorly. Okay, kind of four negative communication patterns. And so, what we want you to do is as you're listening and kind of interacting with this, is to go, yeah, this is what I do. This one, this is how it plays out for us. Okay, and think mostly for yourself. Don't go nudging him and going, that's so you. Okay. think about yourself and how you do these things, and then you can talk later about how they interact, okay? So the first one is withdraw and avoidance, okay? Withdraw and avoidance. And this is the unwillingness to get in or stay with an important discussion, okay? So it can be as obvious as kind of leaving the room. And that would be one way to withdraw, would be to physically, you know, leave. And the other way, you know, is avoiding is just to kind of shut down, you know, and either not get into the conversation, just avoid it altogether, or just kind of fake peace and say, you know what, everything is okay. Okay?
Yeah, and that's how, and we're not big avoiders, but there are times that definitely it plays out that way. And I'm kind of the opposite. I'm a pursuer, and so I have even been known to nag a few times. Ladies, y'all, say amen on that. Just that if I'm coming at John...
The guys are saying,
so if I'm coming at John, I've got an agenda, I've got something I need him to hear, I want him to hear, I've got this plan. And there have been times that he will just, whatever I need to say to get you off my back, woman. You know, so in that, it's that really peace.
I didn't say that, but that's what...
No, that's the attitude.
Definitely what I'm thinking.
I think
yeah.
he said it one time.
Yeah.
But just that, the peace faking that it's not true peace, and it's just kind of, okay, whatever I need to say, just capitulate, whatever to create peace. And it's not a real peace, it's kind of a fake peace. So that can be withdrawal and avoidance as well.
Yeah, I will either just like... Just go, just tell, what do you want me to say to end it? Like, if I could end this right now, you know, what's the magic word? You know, just tell me, we'll do that. And so that's one way, all right? So that's just kind of in making decisions or having conversations. The other way, this is kind of subtly how I do this. Again, we generally don't leave the room or completely shut down. But like, if I know there's a conversation, I've done this before, that Pam wants to have that I don't want to have, I'll just, and I know, you guys know it's coming, right? You've been married, like, you know, totally know what's at the end of this road. And I've been known to kind of steer the conversation away, just kind of keep bumping it, you know, changing topics and things like that so that she can't get to where, what I know she wants to talk about. I've done that before. Okay. So it plays out a lot of different ways, but here's the deal. In order to fix it, you have got to get in and stay with conversations. Okay. You've got to get in and stay with conversations. You can't give up on them, and you can't run away from them. That will not, solve conflict. Okay, we talked about the inability to resolve conflict is the number one predictor of divorce. Okay, and so it's counterintuitive. A lot of times we think, well, if I just don't really address it and make waves, then everything will be okay. And it's actually worse. Okay, it will actually make it worse. And so if you're sitting next to a withdrawer, okay, they've got to learn to be able to come to you and say, we're going to have this conversation and I will stay here. Okay, but for you, it really isn't coming upon you to go, hey, is there something about me that would make them want to withdraw? Okay, odds are there's something you're doing that makes it difficult for them to communicate with you and they want to withdraw. Okay, things like yelling and screaming. That would be one that would be hard to have a conversation with you. Okay, and we'll talk about some of these other ones, but odds are if they don't feel like it's worth it or it's safe or all these kind of things, then they'll pull out. Okay, and so you're partly to blame, even though that isn't the way that you communicate poorly. Okay, so that is withdraw and avoidance.
Yeah, the next one, the E, is escalation. And so that's just like it sounds, when the partners respond negatively to each other and just kind of continuing to up the ante, where it just becomes more and more hostile. And so it could play out with the yelling, with just fighting, throwing things, you know, I mean, obviously like you would picture that way. Or it doesn't really play out that way at our house, but it definitely plays out more subtle. We can really get sarcastic with each other and just like kind of little subtle jabs, just trying to kind of one-up each other. And so that's definitely how escalation plays out.
Yeah.
With that.
And so it's interesting, we did this class, we used to do this class and we'd show this video clip, and like if you want to see escalation played out like in a 30-minute period, this guy comes home and he sees crumbs on the table. Okay, that's how it starts. There's crumbs on the table. And he starts going after her, and then she's giving it back to him, and they're just, I mean, and it's not staged. They just, what they did, they set cameras up in these guys' house. And they're starting to tear into each other's house and just kind of fast forward. And it wasn't even 30, it was like 20 minutes later. They're talking about who's going to get the kids when they get a divorce, okay? It was crumbs on the table, and it escalated to, visitation rights, okay? That'd be about the most extreme form of escalation that I've seen. Okay, so a lot of times if we're upping the stakes in terms of emotional response or just kind of threatening and things like that, or trying to just kind of posture in ways, that's escalation. Okay, and it really, really is deadly to marriage. And the Bible says that a fool gives vent to his anger. Okay, and so we do not want to give vent to the anger that we have. We've got to look for ways to control it. Okay, one of the ways you fix this, there's several parts, but I think one of the biggest ones is just to be able to call a timeout. Okay, so when you feel it, right, you if you're an escalator and you know, man, you can just feel it kind of coming on. You're about to just let loose and let your anger come out. You're about to say some stuff that you know will really wound them. You'll regret. Just call a timeout. Okay, and so the way you do that is to say, hey, you know what, I want to have this conversation. I'm getting really, really frustrated right now. And I think if we kind of kept, having this conversation, it would not go well. So if you'll give me just a little bit of time, either, give me tonight or an hour, we'll talk about this after work, any of those kind of things, then I will try to be at my best and have this conversation. Okay, so not to let it get to that place with a timeout. Okay, and so that's not then, a tactic for the withdrawer, right? Here comes a conversation like, whoa, time out, if you guys remember the movie Monty Python, that run away, that was that little voice, right? So if you feel that coming on, that's not your tactic, but that's hopefully should be for the escalator to go, I'm not going to let it get that way. And so what I'll do is I'm going to take some time away, man. And so I think it's great if we can pray. If we can just kind of, I know a friend who's really, really hot-tempered and loves his wife. And so he will say, hey, I'm going to walk around the block, and I'll be back in 2 minutes. And I'm not mad at you. I want to have this conversation really, really well. And I'll be back in about 2 minutes, and I'll be at my best when I'm here. Makes a lap, comes back in, and has a conversation. He said the more he's done that, the less he's had to, because he's learned to kind of communicate really well. But he knew about himself at certain points that he was going to explode, and he didn't want to see that happen because of the damage that would cause. Okay, so anything?
Yeah, and so timeout's a great thing, and just really just to be totally just blunt on this, just somebody has got to be more like Christ and just stop. Our pastor here at Watermark talks about if he and his wife are having conflict, instead of who can hold out the longest, that's how we're tempted, right, in our flesh, just to hold out just longer than the other person and just make that person pay. But instead of that, they just have more of a competition of who can race to come under the control of the Holy Spirit first. And so that's your competition, not who you can hold out longer, but who can become under the whole control of the Holy Spirit and say, you know what, doesn't matter what he's going to do. I am in control. I'm going to deal with my selfishness. I'm going to choose to be kind, to get my anger under control, to pray about this, and to show grace.
That's good. That's good. Okay. So that is escalation. So withdrawal, escalation, and then this is a big one, negative interpretation. Okay. And I think we'll see this one all the time. Mm-hmm. In our relationship, it's when someone believes that the motives of the other person are more negative than is actually the case, right? You think the motives, if their lips are moving, it's because they're trying to get you, right? Or they're trying to shade the truth or whatever, okay? Or even body language and things like that. You assign a negative motive to whatever they're doing.
And you, if you start kind of being aware of this, I bet you'll be surprised. I know I was surprised how often I negatively interpret what John says, or even in friendships, just what people say. Like, I just think they're trying to get a gig in, and they're just really saying what they're saying. But so often, as you start to be aware of this, it's where it'll play out in areas where you're insecure. So I'm an okay cook, but not great. And so John comes in, what's for dinner? And I hear, is it going to be as bad as last night? Like, can we just go out, order pizza? And he really just is curious what's for dinner because he's hungry. But just thinking about, if you instantly go there, just thinking, is this an area where I'm insecure? It's my issue. Just to be aware of that. I've been surprised again in marriage and in friendships. I had a friend, and she was just really blunt and just real honest. I mean, she just cut to the chase. And I just for years thought she was just angry at me, and then I realized she's not. She talks that way to everybody. She's just honest and, you know, just no gray. It's just black or white. But just realizing that this is my biggest itch, is just not believing the best about people. And so the way you can combat this is to believe the best. And it's hard sometimes, but to believe the best about somebody, that they're not really trying to get one in on you. And if you can't, to ask for clarification. I want to believe the best, John, but dinner really was bad last night, I know. Are you just trying to ask if we can do something different?
Yeah, believe the best, and if you can't, ask for clarification, okay? And you'll find yourself just kind of reacting, I think, to each other a lot of times, sometimes for legitimate reasons and sometimes for not. And so, one of my favorite stories was when we moved into our house, I had taken off kind of a week of work, and I was home trying to be, super fix-it-up guy, I remember just waking up really early, going to bed super late, also trying to hang out with my kids and be with Pam, and I mean, I felt like I was up for dad of the year, dad and husband of the year, and the camera crews would bust in at any point and start just kind of filming and seeing me in action, and I'd get my rewards kind of deal, right? So it's about day three or day four of this, and I'm hanging these blinds, kind of these wooden blinds. It's the first one I'm hanging, and it wouldn't go in, as well as I had hoped it was. And Pam walks in, and she doesn't even say anything. She just looks at the blinds and kind of cocks her head a little bit and goes, "Huh," like that. Right? Doesn't say anything. And I remember sitting there with my screwdriver, going, "You've got to be kidding me, right? I cannot believe she's criticizing my work." And then she walks over. I'll never forget. She walks in this closet, and the closet was where we didn't know where stuff went yet. That was that closet. So it's just filled with just random stuff that doesn't have a home yet. And she goes, "Wow!" And she looks in there and closes it, thinks about something else, and walks. And I remember just holding my screwdriver and go, "Man, you know what? Forget this. I'll go back to work tomorrow. She can hang her own blinds. She can clean her own closets if she's that unappreciative of what I'm doing." I'm just thinking, I was so mad. I remember, so I was hanging this blind, and I did like two, three more, so hit the shower and was headed towards bed, and this thought, came to my mind. Like, what did Pam say, mean, any of that kind of stuff? And I got to thinking that she didn't actually even say anything. And so I just remember going to her and just saying, "Hey, Pam, what'd you think about the blinds?" She goes, "I thought they looked pretty good." And I was like, "Yeah." I mean, I knew that was actually the case. I'd been mad for no reason. I said, "Well, what'd you think about the closet?" She goes, "It's a mess. We'll get to it. It's no big deal." Right? And I just said, "Man, well, just forgive me for, being a jerk and just kind of, huffing and puffing around the house." Right? Because I had negatively interpreted what I thought you said, didn't even ask you. So what it would have been, I was like, "Whoa, hang on one second. Come back in here. What do you think of the blinds?" Right? "Yeah, thumbs up, thumbs down. Here's how we're going to work it out." Okay? And the closet, rather than beginning to react, because I knew what she was thinking, right? Which is actually, I obviously didn't. And so we missed out, it was just kind of 2 hours of oneness there. And I think a lot of us oftentimes miss out on even more longer stretches because we negatively interpret what others say or do, and we don't ask for clarification. Okay, so it really, really is a big one. Do you have any other thoughts or examples?
Yeah, I think in that, if you do ask for clarification, if you are if you are being negative, if you're on the other end, just to own it. And so if John says, "Hey, when you said that, I'm trying to believe the best, but I'm having a hard time. Yeah, you got me. I mean, I was trying to get kind of a little sideways." Just being honest with each other, owning that, and just the trust that even that builds, just being honest about that.
Yeah, so it's for us, it's the watch, right, when we're late. You guys know, so four little kids, just trying to get 8 shoes on the right feet and get them anywhere on time is next to impossible, when they were younger anyway, we'd tend to be late, and we're in the car, and I remember just like flicking my wrist and looking at my watch, right? And I remember Pam sometimes going, All right, so what's with that? You know, are you looking to see really at your watch, or are you, because what it feels like is you're like, with each flick of the wrist, you're going, hey, what was the deal? You couldn't get our family going, and now we're going to be late, and you're making me look bad, because that's kind of the way it feels, right? And so it's kind of 50-50, right? Sometimes I was just looking to see what time it was, and sometimes, yeah, I mean, I just, you know, I was coming at her sideways, and I'd say, you know what? You're right, and if I had an issue, I should have told you, but not done this. That's ridiculous. Okay, so when you get busted, just repent, ask for forgiveness, and move on. Okay, or do whatever you need to do. So believe the best, and if you can't, ask for clarification. Okay, and then own your part. Matthew 7 talks about getting the log out of your own eye first. Okay, and so we need to be really good at that. So that is negative interpretation.
Right. So the last one, I, is invalidation. Invalidation. And that's subtly or directly, just putting down the thoughts, feelings, sometimes character of the other person.
Yeah, and so this is probably my biggest ditch right here, okay, invalidation. And I'm like really, really good at it, okay, to my shame, not my credit. And so what would happen, especially early on in marriage, is Pam would come to me and just kind of, you know, she'd share something, and I'd immediately go to like spin and management kind of mode. You know, I'm like, whoa, let's look at it this way, you know, because can you see it from here? Because if you do, then that really isn't a problem, or that really is an issue, or I hear what you're saying, but have you thought about these facts and those kind of things, right? I'm not really trying to understand her or deal with what she's feeling, just trying to be right, okay? So if you believe that the goal of communication is to win and to be right, you will generally go to one of these four tactics, okay? And invalidation would be one of the ones that I would go to. And so, you know, hey, John, this is how I feel. I'm like, well, that's crazy. No one feels that way about those kind of things, right? And so then pain would kind of begin to kind of shut down on whatever those kind of issues. And really, it was just kind of insecurity on my part, right, that I always had to be right. There was something just kind of broken about me, I think, early on. And so invalidation was where I would go. And so, like, and this is how you know, like, if you're, like, really, really good, A-plus invalidator, is when your spouse, like, brings something to you, you know, they say, man, I've got this issue with you, and you kind of keep spinning and, you know, and doing the magic, and they go, you know what? You're right. I'm wrong. Man, I'm sorry I even brought it up, right? And so, and inside you're going, like, yes, dude, I'm really, really good, okay? That's not helping your marriage at all. Okay, that is subverting oneness in your marriage. Okay, and I would know because that's part of my story. Okay, so watch the invalidation.
Yeah, and so just the way to fix this one is just having that the goal, like we talked about at the beginning, of communication is for oneness, not to win, not to be right, but to come together to move toward oneness. And so when you have that as your goal, it's okay. You can be wrong. You can. You know, I don't understand why you feel that way, John, but I want to. You know, you can come at it with more compassion and not always having to be right. Not even when you don't understand, not putting those down because you don't, because your goal is to understand your spouse and to move toward oneness.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, so this is a really easy way to remember these four things. Okay, so the first one is withdrawal and avoidance, escalation, negative interpretation, and invalidation. And so if you take the first letter of each of those, right, it spells weenie. Okay, so when you communicate, don't be a weenie. Okay, and you'll be amazed at just how having those categories when you communicate, you go back and reflect after the fact and go, hey, so what went wrong here, right? And odds are there was one of those four things. You know, you're being a weenie in one of those four ways, guys. Right? So you know, so those of you guys that just need it real simple, dudes, don't be a weenie. Okay, figure out what your kind of ditch is. Own it and make sure that doesn't happen. Okay, so we'll talk in a second. What we're going to do is talk about how do you actually put this stuff into practice and keep from doing that. We'll show you what's called the speaker listener technique. But let's do this. Let's take about let's take 10 minutes, okay, and just turn to your table. And so I think most of the tables don't even have any kind of facilitator. Heck, you may not have any members of our church. Who knows what's going to happen at your table, okay? Well, let's turn, and as long as it's safe, speak for you and just share, you know, hey, as I think about this, this is one of the things I do, and here's how it plays out, okay? let me repeat myself. Do not say, absolutely, this is what he does. These are the two of them. This is how he does it. And it drives me crazy. Okay? That's not what we're doing. And you guys gang up on that person. If that's what they do, you call time out. Okay? But just share with your table if you feel comfortable. If you don't, feel no pressure. Okay? Turn and share your ditch. Okay? Great. Hey, so just kind of thoughts, any like aha moments, or we had a really good discussion at our table and this is what we did, or so anybody?
Yeah, we're all winnies and we do everything right.
You 4 for 4? Yeah? Okay. You excel at all of them? Yeah. Why excel at one when you can excel at all four? Yeah, that's right. That's good. Yeah.
I didn't get to share it during the discussion at the time, but I think one of the most important things that you guys said is something that I don't think we do enough in our marriage is someone has to choose to represent Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't, during that conflict, it's going to fail every time. It always results in the same. And
it's good.
We're upset with each other. I think we watch other things versus someone choosing to represent Christ and represent what he means, a loving, guiding person.
Yeah, that's right. So just this idea that always, one of us needs to go first. And just, he said, represent Christ, right? Just kind of honor Christ in the way, not try to be right, make them pay, make them suffer, shut them out for a season till they just see how serious you are, inflict damage, right? Who's going to honor Christ? Really good, man. It's good. Anybody else? It's kind of a... Yeah. Any one of those for you that were more helpful than the other? All of them? Good? Okay. Exit strategies are a good thing. I think you'll be amazed. It's kind of like, whenever you buy a car, I remember I bought a Honda Accord one time, and I was just amazed at how many Honda Accords were on the road, right? You know, once you have that, you guys have all had that phenomenon. And you'll be the same way. You'll go like, oh, man, you're totally doing that. You know, before he was just being a jerk, right? And now he's like, oh, you're invalidating me. Okay, we can deal with that, right? Just kind of being a jerk, generally, I can't fix as well, you know? But, hey, I'm an invalidator. I can fix that, okay? I can work on that. Just being a jerk is kind of all-encompassing. So, anything else, guys? Okay. Good. That has just proven to be super helpful for Pam and I. And, just having a language on what to call this stuff. We didn't just communicate poorly. Odds are we were doing one of those four things there. Okay. So Pam reminded me there's four blanks. I think you guys have H-A-L-T. Just be careful about some of it. There's an art, not a science, to communication, and just knowing when to get in to kind of have difficult conversations, when to kind of have those. So don't have them when, and just really easy to remember, halt, when you're hungry, okay? when you're angry, and just generally angry already, a bad idea. When you are late or lost, am I? Man, if we do not know where we're going and I'm turned around, it is not a good time to talk about how we could do better in our marriage, okay? It will set us back. And then the last one is tired, okay? And so sometimes, it's not even that you're any more spiritual at other times than not. It's just not a wise idea. And you guys know that about each other, right? That, okay, we need to have a hard conversation, kind of a difficult conversation. But there's probably a better time to have that than not, or hitting him or her right when they walk across the threshold and going, I've been waiting to talk to you, we're going to have this conversation right now. Okay. There's just something to you, timing. Okay. And so those are easy to remember. They've helped us. Okay. So now let's talk about kind of the speaker-listener technique. Okay, so if you can identify those negative patterns, I think this is one of the best ways, what we're going to show you, to combat all of those, all four of those. If, again, the goal is to understand, right? The goal of communication is mutual understanding. I think this is really one of the best ways to kind of get there. So do you want to talk about this?
And so you've got them there, but just to kind of clarify the speaker-listener technique, so there's a couple of rules. So you're going to take turns. So at the point when you're the speaker, you speak for yourself. Don't mind read. Just speak for how you're feeling. And don't go on and on. So you're going to say your piece, short piece, and stop and let the listener kind of repeat back. and then you'll do that, just kind of keep doing that in short little bursts. And then so the other person, the listener, will paraphrase back what they hear. And this is hard but crucial. Don't rebut. Just focus on what the speaker's saying, because as the listener, you will have a chance to be the speaker, and then you can kind of share your side or what you understood. But you're just repeating back what you heard the speaker say. And then just for both of you, the rules that the speaker is the person with the floor. They've got the right to talk. They keep the floor while the listener paraphrases. But you're going to share. You're going to take turns talking, so you'll each have a chance, probably multiple times, to be the speaker and the listener.
Okay. Does that make sense? So we used to have, I think somewhere we do, like these little magnets, and if you had that with all the rules on it, and if you had that, you had the floor. And so you can, you know, we've seen couples when they're just starting off, they'll take any object, you know, the remote or a kid's toy, and go, okay, you know what? We need to have this conversation. You have the floor. You go. Okay, and I'm going to listen and paraphrase back, and then I'll get a chance in a second. But just kind of going, while you're holding that thing, that object, you've got it. Okay, and that's how I think that's kind of how some of the ways we started with that. Okay, so we'll kind of demonstrate. Did you think of anything that you're like really ticked off about? You want to talk about
Justin Bieber?
Justin Bieber, right now. Well, which you totally could. I mean, you're not serious, though,
no,
are you?
I'm not
okay. But we've done it. If you are, we can. We've done this before, like, and it's fun. It's just kind of fun in real time. Like, I'm really chaffed about this. Let's talk about it now, you know, and just kind of watch that live and on air. But I don't think we're sideways on anything.
I think we're good. Right.
So, but this will seem really trivial to you, but I'll take you back to a place in our marriage about 8 years ago, okay? Actually, it's been longer than that. It's been probably 9 years now. And so the deal was, I'm in grad school, and again, it's like a recurring thing. I think I'm doing like really good. I'm studying late at night. I would hang out with Pam and the kids, and I would put her down, and I would just work, like, you know, kind of midnight oil, eyes burning, you know. And again, like, I'm just thinking about myself as this really superhuman kind of dad and husband and things like that, and always wanting to plan all these amazing things with my family. And so I'd been on a pretty one of those pretty difficult runs for a while, and I think I'd even been doing some traveling. And so we're sitting in bed one night, and I think like the there's a reprieve coming. It was probably 1 week from now, and I remember just going, I'm just going to get to breathe and you know, kind of get to spend some time with the family. And Pam says, hey, you know, my folks want to come that weekend, you know. And I go, I don't know that's such a good idea. Okay, and so now it's on. And not, I mean, no one was yelling or screaming, but it was, you know, she was like, well, so what's the deal? I don't know what she said effectively, but it was like, hey, you know, why don't you want to hang out with my parents? You know, doesn't seem like, I bet you if, I do remember this is effectively what was said, if it was your parents, I bet you you'd be all in. But since it's mine, you're going to take a pass on that, you know. And so we had just learned about this this stuff, and I go, hey, this would be a great time to do that, right? Because this could go south in a hurry. It wasn't yet nuclear, and you know, we just kind of just now identified the problem. I said, hey, this would be great. And so I remember we sat up in the bed, and I just, you know, I don't know what I said, but effectively I was like, okay, you go. And so if you want to just kind of, we can reenact that best we did. So, right? So, hey, you have the floor. Tell me what you're thinking.
Well, it feels like, or seems like that you said you don't want my parents to come. I can hear it in your voice and read it in your body language that you don't want my parents to come visit. Okay. Next weekend.
So it just kind of seems like I don't want your folks to come that weekend.
Right, yeah. Right. And like I said, like, I think that if your parents were coming, it might be just fine. And so it makes me feel like that you don't value my parents, don't like my parents.
Okay. So you feel like if it was my folks, I probably would be game. And it kind of seems like I don't like your parents as much.
Yeah, and I probably said you don't like my parents, which is not right.
Yeah.
And so what I what I should say is what I did then. It feels like.
Or seems.
Or it seems to me that you don't like my parents.
Yeah, so you don't want to make declarative statements and go, right, like mind read, I know what you think, because she doesn't, right?
Okay.
So it seems to me. Great.
Okay.
Well, hey, first off, man, I'm sorry. So I'd love to explain that, but I'm sorry if you feel like I don't like your parents as much as mine. So will you forgive me for that?
Okay. Yeah.
So in reality, really it wasn't an issue about your parents. It wasn't, in my mind, much more just trying to have time with our family. Not so. It was really nothing about your parents. It was just that I was looking forward to some time with you and the kids.
Okay. So you don't hate my parents. were trying to kind of protect our time as we've been busy.
That's a good paraphrase, yeah. And and so, you know, and even like, and I'll tell you this, like even, I'm fine to even call them and explain it because I think they were thinking about coming down. I'll call them to explain them to them why and even invite them down the next weekend and just so both they know and you know that I really do want to spend time with them.
So you'd even just to show them and me that you really do care about them and want them in our lives, that you'll call them and reschedule and explain why. And
yeah. So
great.
Is that, are you good with that?
Yeah, that's
okay.
Great. I appreciate that.
Okay. And so that, I mean, that seems like to you guys, you just go, really? Like, big deal, man. And I can tell you that that was like a repetitive issue for us that just that was like the thing, man, right? So the whole leaving and cleaving thing, some couples do that really, really well. We did it fine, but it showed up differently where it was like pitting sides, you know, your parents, my parents, was just kind of the weird way that showed up. And I can talk about my parents, but the second you do, you know, I get crazy defensive. You know, I can call my parents crazy, but the second you do, you know, it's completely inappropriate and out of balance, right? And so it was just all this weirdness. And that felt like, I mean, at that moment, it goes, hey, man, that, we drove a stake in the ground at that moment and said, we're an us. We are an us first. Okay? And we are going to honor our parents. We're not going to be jerks about keeping them, you know, at arm's length from their grandkids and from their other daughter. We're not going to do that. But we are an us first. And we've agreed on that. And there's no hard feelings. There's no, nobody is mad about that. And dude, that was a huge win for us. And I'm sure if I'm sitting there, I'm go, man, what a yawner, you know? Like, man, let's hear something really important. And that was huge for us, okay? And I can go, you can go back on the, you know, at a point in time and go, man, that was a game changer for us. A conversation we hadn't been able to have because we used the speaker listener, okay? So, any thoughts, reactions, or questions to that? To the speaker-listener technique, yeah, Katie?
I'll just share that we don't always do that, but when we have done that, for someone who's very much a reactor emotionally, when you have to sit down and kind of, it feels very awkward, it takes the emotion out of it for me.
Right.
And so I can hear what he's saying, and I was just thinking, you know, we could really use to do that again, just because it really helps calm me down because I escalate
Good. So Katie was just saying, you know, she's an escalator, and when they put that kind of structure in place, it really kind of dissipates all that. So I don't know, I won't pretend to know how a nuclear reactor works exactly, but I do know they kind of insert these rods in there that will dissipate some of what's going on there. And so this really can be like that. You know, here's a big explosion about to happen. We're going to put that in there, and that will dissipate some of that. So that's really good, Katie. Yeah. Other thoughts, reactions? Yes, ma'am.
I have a question outside of this.
Yeah.
It's about the communication process.
Uh-huh.
How important is it to make sure that all distractions are...
Yeah.
Because I feel like on maybe both ends, sometimes when you're upset or when you got something, like maybe I'll be cleaning or something,
mm-hmm.
and my attention is here, but we're trying to communicate, and it's a big, maybe a thing that might come
out. That's good. So the question was, what about the kind of distractions, you know, and external stuff? And she said, how important is that? And I would say, very, right, to get a handle on. And so you can put those under, you can pick a category to put those under, but sometimes you put those under filters. So you can have, like, you can be in a kind of poor emotional state, and you can start filtering everything that they say through. And sometimes it's just, it's a distraction. And so, like, for Pam and I, I've got a little bit better at this, but she would call, and you guys have all been busted this way, right? You're in front of the computer, return an email, and she calls, and you're like, what? Long pause. Are you still there? Yeah, right. And so, and she's like, you know, good grief, man. Can you turn away from the computer for a minute and talk to me? Okay. And so we have all been there. And so most recently for me, it's I'm there, but I'm solving 10 issues, you know. And man, how frustrating is that to talk to somebody that's not even, you know, right there? So so that's the one I've got to own the most. And especially like right after work, if I'm just, you know, I've got all this stuff going, you know, and I'll say, can I have 15 minutes? You know, because I want to have that. But I'm still fighting battles up here, and I'll be with you, you know, kind of deal. Or like a date, yeah. You know, I need to have her talk. We get in the car, I need to have her ask her questions first, because I can't put two kind of complete sentences together. I'm still trying to unwind. So just to cut distractions out.
Yeah, huge. And the other part of that is the person who, you know, just to pick the timing. So often as women, but all of us. You know, so I'm home with the kids all day, and it's not good timing for as he walks in the door to hit him with those issues. And so we teach our kids, you know, like, you don't come and ask for all these things. You know, kids, you pick your time. You know, you got to have better timing when you're asking for stuff, you know. And we need to do that same thing. You know, just know our spouses enough. You know, it talks about in 1 Peter, just husbands to live with your wives in an understanding way. I mean, I think it can be the other way. Wives live with your husbands in an understanding way. So as you're students of each other and know how each other ticks and when is a good time for each other, just to kind of study each other and know when it is good time and be patient and just hit each other when you're at your best.
Yeah, that's good. Really good. So, any other thoughts, reactions, or questions? Yes, sir.
I got a question about the timing, and it relates to the halt deal. One or both of us is always tired. You know, not to mention we're running the thing,
right.
Or got to go feed the animals or whatever. And then you felt hungry there at least
three times. Right.
So, like, when do you say, all right, well, we've been tired for 4 days.
Right. Dustin's just saying, hey, on the halt deal, we're always, like, in one of those four, you know, where someone's always tired or hungry or whatever. Yeah, and so there's no no magic silver bullet for you. You just got to make time. Like Adam said tonight, you just got to make it a priority. And so it's not that you don't have energy for other things. It just means that you guys haven't made a priority for you, because there's all kinds of other things in your world that are functioning really well. And so it's to say, okay, you know, I'm going to make a priority for this, you know. And so like some of you guys that are in sales, right, this is always so funny to me. Like the sales guys are like some of the worst communicators in marriage. And so they'll go to the office at 9 o'clock and just start doing the deal, man. They're talking to people and they're listening and, right, they're paraphrasing all day, you know. So, okay, Mr. Prospective Client, what I hear you saying is this, is that right? You know, so could we help you if we did this? Is that, okay, do I understand you? Yeah. And then they come home and it's like, hey, man, how was your day? That's fine, you know. They get in a conversation and he's like, ah, forget it. And he goes back in his room and watches TV, right? So up until 6 o'clock, he was a communicating genius. And then he walked in the home and he shut it all off, okay? So most of us, the point being that most of us really do know how to communicate well. We just choose not to with our spouses. And when I say most of us, I mean, what I mean is all of us. Okay, we all do better oftentimes with others than we will with our spouse. It's not that we can't; we just choose not to. Okay.
You know, another idea that's just a practical one is just a weekly, like a weekly kind of meeting. And so maybe you are like Adam talked about, like maybe this is when we're gonna, here's our, so that it doesn't happen on the dates, you know, for us. Here's kind of our calendar for the week, kind of this kind of detail stuff. But then also knowing that this is a time when, hey, I mean, if there's something going on that I want to talk about, just kind of this safe, protected time. And it doesn't mean you always wait on conflict. If there's something going on, you'd have to wait 7 days to talk about it. But just that you would know, and that's just a communication thing for y'all to work out, if that practically would work. But we've seen it happen really well, and we've done it at different times in our marriage. But just kind of, we know there's, you know, on Monday night, we're going to sit down after the kids go to bed, and we're going to talk through calendar, but then there's going to be other stuff. And I know if there's something I need to talk to John about, that for sure that time is kind of protected for that.
Yeah,
and so again, the whole timing, we come at that as much as we can rested, you know, not hungry if we can help it, you know, all those things as much as we can.
Yeah. There was a season where we would go, we just pick up Central Market dinner for two, and it was every Monday night, you know, whether we felt like it or not, didn't matter. And we were going to sit at the kitchen table and just kind of talk through the week, talk through the week. And it was amazing that, you know, so we just kind of, you know, batching all of the hard discussions to have, you know, on one night. So you got to come and you're ready, you know, to have that and be at your best. But sometimes just kind of waiting 3-4 days, stuff wasn't even worth bringing up anymore. So that was a real value for us.
Okay, one more thought on this that we didn't say, on the speaker-listener. As you said that, John, it made me think so many times when you do this, because the goal is to understand each other, we, at the end of it, and you'll be just, it'll be a great surprise, just to find that you don't have anything to work out at the end. Like, it's kind of just worked itself out. Or you've come to the place where maybe you didn't agree, but you understand each other, and it's good. Yeah. Now, there will be some times you may have to have action steps, and you may have to make a decision and work further through that. But much of the time, just that goal of understanding each other, and I heard what he said, and he heard what I said, and we understood each other, and that kind of solved it.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, so let me just go back over those rules and just give you a couple thoughts. One is on that whole speaking for yourself. You don't lead with, I know what you're thinking, okay? You're speaking for yourself. And it seems to me, it feels to me, this is what it's like for me, okay? And gals, if he finally is going to listen to you, okay, give him a break and come up for air and let him paraphrase what he heard in the last kind of 30 seconds, okay? If you go on for 5 minutes, he'll just kind of glaze over, shut down, and you'll have to reboot, okay? And so give him, so if you saw Pam, just kind of going in bite-sized chunks, you know, because you'll go, and another thing, and another thing, another thing, okay? So just kind of slow it down. And do let them paraphrase. And if they don't, we didn't do this, but like if the paraphrase doesn't go well, you know, and I say, you know, I paraphrased it back. So you're saying that I'm just kind of frustrated. It feels like your parents aren't a priority to me. If I miss that, she would go, well, I was close. Let me try again. Okay. She'd say it again. And then I'd go, and she'd go, yeah, that's it right there. Okay. So you want to make sure, a lot of times we think we're better listeners than we are. And so if they don't rip a paraphrase, well, just kind of give them another chance, okay? And then just don't rebut and just go, you know, I'll have a chance to talk here, but I'm really trying to lock in and listen to you, okay? And just make sure that you share, okay? So it feels forced. It does, okay? It feels awkward. It feels, it might feel disingenuous, all these kind of things, but I'm telling you, it's one of the best ways to stay out of those negative communication patterns. And we showed this to a couple one time. We said, hey, why don't you guys go? And it feels like, does it feel like that takes forever to kind of go through those steps a lot of times? You know, it does. But in a counterintuitive way, I would tell you, it's going to save you a ton of time. A ton of time. And we showed this to one of our friends one time, and we said, hey, why don't you guys go practice this weekend, you know, just see if, like, three times, see if you can practice. So got back with them the week later and say, how'd it go? And they go, well, and we, you know, we woke up Saturday morning and we tried to do it, but it was taking too long and it was too hard. And I was like, okay, well, then what happened? And they go, yeah, we just fought all day long. Right? And I was like, yeah, it's too long and too hard. Well, which one, you know, you chose something, I would say, that took much longer and was much more difficult. Okay. And so I know it seems counterintuitive. You go, this can't help. But I can tell you, it helped us a ton. And now it's just much more fluid. We actually passed things back and forth until we got it. And now we can do kind of, you know, in a way that seems very fluid and not forced. Okay, and it will take out a lot of this stuff. And so for me, it's made me listen to Pam rather than try to rebut. Right. So we likened it to that we used to have like these Civil War musket battles. Right, where we're not really communicating, the other person's talking, and you're like, "Oh yeah, I've got something, you know, for you." And we're just kind of reloading the whole time, you know. It's like, you know, and so, are you done? You know, and it would just kind of go back and forth, right? Well, I don't have enough brain space to like really understand what Pam's saying, like, to try hard to get what she's saying and form a rebuttal at the same time, right? You know, she probably does, but I don't. And so sometimes kind of, you know, the whole caveman thing comes in handy. And so if I can just focus on listening to her, I find that I'm not formulating my rebuttal argument, okay? And it's we're just going to put the guns down and we're going, hey, we're trying to understand each other. Okay, so we'd love for you guys to kind of practice this in ways that seem appropriate. Okay, and the goal of introducing this to you now is so that when you get into a closed group and you kind of start moving through some of the homework, you'll have some discussions and you'll say, "Hey, share with me what you got on question two." Okay, and so that you don't go, "I can't believe you put that on there," you know, and well, forget it. I'm not ever sharing with you again, right? You can go, "Hey, what? You know what? I'm not going to escalate. Let me see if I understand what you're saying. I'm not going to invalidate you. I'm not going to withdraw. I want to listen to you." And if you said, you know, we can take ground as a couple, that doesn't mean that I'm a terrible husband. Okay, I'm not going to negatively interpret everything you say. Okay, so you've got now a framework to kind of move through that. And then when you're in your close groups, you'll be able to help each other in that, you know. And so some couple shares and he starts getting all kinds of hot and bothered. And you can tell, well, that's not at all what she said. You can say, "Hey, what did you hear her? What did you hear her say?" And he says, "Ah, she said I was lousy." And go, "I didn't hear that. Try again, okay?" And you can kind of help each other with that, okay? Now, it takes some work. It takes it's going to take some attention, but I will tell you that this is a really, really great way, okay? And I think that. Do you have anything else? Okay, I think that's it. And guys, when you do get into a closed group, man, I want to encourage you to not just show up, okay? I mean, maximize the time. Do your homework, have good conversations, sit with God, ask Him to transform your heart, okay? Give yourself to the process. And let God do what He's going to do. And so we see couples kind of come through the funnel and with wildly different results on the back end. We've got some couples that show up and they say, "Yep, punch the card. We want to reengage. Our marriage is heck. It's either the same or worse than it was." Okay, we'll get that all the time. And then we also have the couple that go, "Man, this thing revolutionized our marriage. We cannot shut up about what God's done in our marriage." Okay, couples in the exact same group and gave themselves to the process in different ways. And I really want to encourage you to give yourself fully to the process, okay, when you do get there. Let me pray for you. I will cut you loose. If you have any questions, Pam and I will be around. Otherwise, we will see you next week. And I think most of you will be in open group next week. We're getting some leaders lined up for you guys as fast as we can, okay? Let me pray for you. Father, thank you for the way that you and your son modeled love for us so that we can and then love our spouses with the same love that you have given us. And so I pray that you would help all of us take ground, that we would be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And so you'd help us take the next step in that journey for us. And so would you help us own our own part in that and give us courage to kind of have conversations that matter along the way. And so if you would do that, we'd be really, really grateful. Father, thank you for these couples and the ways that they are courageously here. And I pray you'd meet them as a result. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.